3, 2, 1.
You are now listening to the Shalana Folks Talk Show, where I share stories of women who have overcome opposition and evolved into amazing entrepreneurs and powerful leaders. As a former event planner of 10 years, I am now infusing events with my exciting energy as an MC and host. Motherhood also compelled me to build a home-based business. I am the founder and owner of HBCU Legacy Fashion, a kids' boutique that builds awareness around HBCUs while giving back through scholarships. You can learn more at HBCULegacyFashion.com. Now that we're acquainted, let's get into the show. 3, 2, 1. Here we go. On today's episode, I'm interviewing Tamisha Duncan, an award-winning speaker, international number one best-selling author, and creative brand strategist and educator. She is best known for helping entrepreneurs create powerhouse brands that captivate their target audience, build their tribe, and impact millions with their brand message. Tamisha has coached thousands of students and clients in over 10 countries. She has been featured in numerous highly prestigious platforms such as the Huffington Post, Amazon, and Forbes.com. And she shares her expertise on ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox News as she continues to expand her reach and presence. She has high-profile collaborations with million-dollar brands like the Coca-Cola Company and hosts the acclaimed podcast show, Making the Brand. Today, we're talking about how to step out on faith and leave your 9-to-5. Help me welcome to the show, Tamisha Duncan. So, Tamisha, thank you for being here today. I'm going to start by asking you, who did 8-year-old Tamisha want to be when she grew up?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question. So, 8-year-old Tamisha thought she was going to be a dancer and a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher. I would pretend that I was teaching these classes and I would write on my walls and take papers and spread them out all over the floor like I was handing out things to my class. And I was a dancer at the time. I still dance a little bit, but that was it. I wanted to dance and I wanted to be a teacher. That was it.
I saw that you did dancing, so I was going to ask you about that. So you wanted to be a teacher, you were dancing. How did you get into dancing? I saw that you, I bought courses from you before. So you mm-hmm. talked about how you shared the stage with J-Lo. So I want to hear all about that, like how you went from a little girl dancing and then you were on stage dancing with J-Lo. So now you're a brand strategist. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always had a dancing kind of background. I've been dancing since I probably came out of my mother's womb. And, you know, they put their little girls in dance school and all of those things. But that's been something that's always been my first love, my first passion. And so I danced at school. I danced in I was in like African dance, tap. Wasn't that great at tap, but jazz, African, all those things. I did all of that. And so growing up in New York, you know, we have access to a lot of things in the entertainment world. And my goal was that I wanted to be a dancer. I wanted to dance for celebrities. I had always envisioned myself dancing with Janet Jackson. And, you know, that was just like the ultimate for me. And I would say right around 15, 16 years old, I don't even, you know, that's a great question because I'm trying to figure out myself, like, how did I get started with this? But I somehow linked up with someone that was a casting agent. And I think what happened was I started, like I was dancing in some kind of show or something. And somebody saw me and was like, you are talented. And they gave me, that's exactly what happened. And he gave me this number and I was like, I don't know what this is. Cause you know, sometimes people are not who they say they are. But I had gotten a message that there was a casting call for Jennifer Lopez Feel So Good video. And I was like, I was so nervous, but I said, let's give it a shot. Let's see what happens. And so I want to say maybe either later that day or the next day when I got there, the place was filled with people standing outside, you know, of the studio waiting to audition. And I felt so small, but I had to, you know, I was like, I'm not a trained dancer, but my dance skill was more like a hip hop urban type dance. There was people in there with ballet training and all of this other stuff. And I was like, that's not me, but we'll see what happens. But in any case, I got the call back and it just kind of went from there. So one video leads to another video, to that. You start making connections within your circle of people. So of course, when something is going down, they'll call you and be like, oh, you got to be on this. You make connections just the same way you would do in business, and you form relationships with people. And then that's how that kind of goes on. And so I did that for a long time. But I will tell you, you know, everything that glitters is not always glam. Those video shoots are long, tedious hours. Most of the time you're sitting around, you know, you work a lot. I can tell you there's tons of videos that I'm in that I've never even seen myself, because once they sit there and edit everything, it's like, well, I know I was there. But it's a fun experience. I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Yeah, I think I either heard you say or read on one of your Instagram posts about your story. I think you were at one of either an audition or something like that, and it was like really long hours. Mm-hmm. And people were like getting tired. Some people may have left, but you like stayed around, and then they're like, hey, you come here. Yep. I don't know if you like appeared in the video, or I don't know which video it was, but you were, that was a really cool story.
Yeah, I was like, you gotta stay ready. People were just kind of like not ready, whatever. I just happened to be ready at that particular time, and they were calling people in segments, and they were like, you, let's go. I was like, this is my
How old were you when you first got into like one of the videos?
Say that again.
How old were you when you got into the video?
I was 16.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so you're walking around high school like, yeah, I'm in this video.
Yeah, I was 16 years old. You know, the entertainment industry does not care about your age. They just like, sign here. You okay? All right, let's go. But yeah, I was 16.
So why did you stop? Like, why did you choose to not continue to pursue the entertainment? Because you even styled Nelly.
Well, the thing about it is I love the entertainment world. That's definitely something that I've always been attracted to, just like artists and you know, glitz and glam and all of those things. But I also knew that this was not going to be something that I was going to be able to do forever. There were a lot of things that, you know, the entertainment industry exposes you to that are not in alignment with my morals, values, and beliefs. And the things that I've done, everybody's always been respectful. Nobody has ever disrespected me. But I just knew that there was something more that I wanted to be a part of that was going to feed my soul, that was in alignment with my morals, values, and beliefs. And I didn't think that that was it. So I was like, okay, well, I don't, and I also know that I'm not going to be, you know, able to dance and shake a tail feather for the rest of my life, right? Because eventually I'm going to get older, I'm going to have children, things will happen. And what am I going to do to make sure that I can sustain myself and I have something to fall back on? So I wanted to make sure that I exercised my creative space. So I looked at that as a way for me to be creative and let my creative outlets out. But as far as like what I wanted to focus on making a business out of, I felt like I should put my energies in something else. And so I kind of just transitioned, and I still dance. I used to teach dance when I moved to Atlanta. I worked for a couple of universities. I taught dance at dance school. I even intend to open my own dance. I never stopped dancing. I just did not want to, you know, take on all the stuff that comes along with that particular lifestyle. It's not a bad thing. It's amazing for a lot of people. But for me, I had to make the shift.
Right. When and why did you decide to leave New York to go to Atlanta?
Well, I actually decided to go to Atlanta when I was engaged to my now husband. We were looking for, I wanted to go, but I was like, you know, we were engaged to get married, and we were thinking about where are we going to live. And so my sister was already located in Atlanta, and we would go and visit her all the time. My family, she in general was trying to convince us, oh, you should come to Atlanta. You can get a nice house for like $2.
Right.
You know, this is where you need to be. And I was like, you know, I'm a city girl. And so I don't want to be in the country. My sister had all kind of deers and wildlife in her backyard. I was like, no, that's a full-on negative. And then the year before we got married. We usually came down around Christmas time, myself and my friends, to spend the holidays because we all had, vacation time or whatever. So that was just the optimal time to go down and visit. And we would go down there around that time. A friend of mine who was with us, he was like, "Oh, I want to look at some houses." So I was like, "Yeah, let's do it." So my sister took us around and we started looking at houses. In the first home that we lived in, it was a brand new townhome. And I was like, "This is our house." I don't know. I wasn't even thinking about moving to Atlanta at that particular time. But when we came in, it just called me. I was like, "This is our house. I want this house." My husband was not with me, or my fiance at the time. And I put an offer on the townhome. Didn't I was like, "Yeah, so I kind of put an offer on this home, but he's like, "You did what?" And I was like, "Yeah, but don't worry, it's not gonna go through. I'm not gonna get it." And sure enough, everything, I just kind of went along with the process, but I really didn't believe that we were gonna do it. I was just like taking a chance. And next thing I know, a month and a half later, they were like, "Yeah, you need to come to Atlanta to sign these contracts and get these keys." So that's how we ended up in Atlanta. And when my husband saw the place for the first time, he actually came down maybe about a month before I did. I was like, "Yeah, so I guess we're gonna be moving to Atlanta. We just bought a home."
So are you glad that you did? Was it like the best decision leaving New York to go?
I overall, yes. So he didn't really want to come, but he did. And we loved the home. I think it was the best decision overall. We kind of both flip-flop. So in the beginning, I'd say the first year or so, he was like, "I want to go back to New York," because living in Atlanta from New York is, even though people say Atlanta is very much like New York, it is not. And it is a big adjustment. And so after he got settled and was like, "Okay, fine, I think this is a good place for us," I was like, "No, I think we should go back." And he's like, "No, you bought this house, we're gonna be here." And so we decided to make it work. And it has been the best decision for us. Business-wise, we're able to raise our family here. It's a great experience. So I'm just soaking it all in.
So then you started working for Coca-Cola. Tell me about working there.
So when I worked for Coca-Cola, when I came down to Atlanta, I said I wanted to work in two places, either Turner Broadcasting or the Coca-Cola Company. I had no idea how I was going to get into either one, but that's what I set my heart on. So when I first got here, I did like I had this it was like kind of a, I don't even know what I would call that job, but it was almost like an office manager job at a temp agency. And I was still kind of, doing my thing to try to get myself into one of these two companies. I had applied for Turner and I had actually got a call back, but the salary was way too low. And I was like, "No, I cannot survive off of that." And so I was just patient. And then a friend of mine, she said, "I think," she already worked at Coca-Cola. And she said, "Why don't you give me your resume and I'm going to give it to the staffing agency there." And so I did. And she called me back and she called me for the staffing agency called for a job working in bottling investments. And I was like, "What is that? I don't know what that is." And she's like, "Well, you would be working with the president of the company."
Go.
And I was like, "Yeah, but I want to work in marketing." And she was like, "Lady, if you don't take this job," I was like, "All right." She's like, "You could move around. The thing with this company is you need to get your foot in the door. Once you get in the door, then you can go wherever you want." Turns out I was only supposed to be a temp temporarily. Ended up staying in that very same position for 9 years. Never left. I did do some work with the marketing, department and different things, but because it was such C level, I got an opportunity to literally touch every piece of the company at some point within my 9 years of being there. It was an amazing experience. Taught me so much, especially now as an entrepreneur. I can see how a lot of things that I learned at Coke, I apply now in my business with my team, how I work. It just definitely changed my whole life. And it was a great experience because for me coming in, I was 26 years old, Black girl, only young, the youngest person on the executive floors. Most of the people that worked on those executive floors, they were much older women or men, and they were in the company for 10 years. You had to be vetted for a long time before you can get on that elevator to go to those floors. And so for me, having come in there, I didn't have a college degree. I did go to college, but I didn't finish. So for me, having all of these odds, if you say against me, to be in that position was phenomenal.
Okay, so you came to Atlanta knowing that you wanted to work at Coca-Cola. You were so excited to be able to get there. At what point did that shift and you said, I want to be an entrepreneur and help others?
I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. So I've always had things going on while I was at Coke. So I did have a part-time, well, it was a full-time, but part-time job as an office manager. But I also had an event planning company at the same time. Now, I was doing events and all kinds of things when I lived in New York, but I didn't really make it a business. It was just something that we did for fun. And so when I came to Atlanta, I was like, I need something that I can call my own. I didn't, you know, I was making friends, but everything was new to me. I knew some people just from coming to visit my sister. So I wasn't like all alone, but I had to kind of establish myself here. And so I started my event planning company, which was originally called the Posh Events. And then I changed it to Tim Duncan Events, but I was doing that the whole time. And that's what I thought I was going to be doing for the rest of my life, event planning. And so while I was doing that, I was working at Coke. And after a while, even though Coke was a great experience, it did not fill my heart at all. I was miserable because I was like, I feel like I should be doing this. I want to put my time and my energies into this. Like, this is a great experience, but I'm not passionate about it. And it just got to the point where I was dreading being there, right? And because my business was tugging at me. And I had grew my business almost to a point where I had to make a decision. I either had to continue to treat it as a side hustle or let go of what I was doing with Coke so I can devote my full energy to growing that business. And that's what I really wanted to do. And so I remember it very clearly. I just said to myself, because I kept trying, you know, I kept putting it off. It was like 5 years. I was like, I'm going to wait till I get to this point and then I'm going to leave. And I got to make this amount of money and then I'm going to leave. Or I need this kind of training and then I'm going to leave. And you never really feel like settled in that thought of, okay, now is the time. I didn't have anything aligned. And I just kind of felt it one day. I called my husband and I was like, yeah, I think this is my last week. I can't be here anymore. And he was like, all right. And I didn't have any money saved up. I had no plan. I do not suggest anybody doing that without a plan, but I took a chance. I said, listen, I haven't failed myself yet. So I will figure this out. And that's what I did. I put in my 2 weeks notice that following week, and it's been me and my business ever since.
Okay. So backpedaling a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think I first came across you because I planned weddings for about 8 years and in Raleigh. I'm in Ohio now, but I think that's how I first heard about Tim Duncan Events. I think I saw on Instagram it was like a gender reveal or something you did.
Okay.
It was cute and I started following you from then. But I know why I decided to stop planning weddings and I can share that later, but why did you decide to stop?
Yeah, that's a good question. So a couple of reasons. The first one was I had always had a desire for branding and marketing, which led me to the things that I used to do in New York with the working with, you know, celebrities and all kinds of things. I had, that was always something that was in me. I applied that gift to my event planning company. And so a lot of people would see my business and they would ask me, could I help them with their branding or their marketing? Or, you know, I see you on Instagram. People would always ask me about my Instagram, my this, my that. And so I was like, you know, I had dismissed the fact that I could help people in that way because I thought that I needed to have a degree in marketing. I didn't have a degree in marketing. I didn't know how to draw per se. I definitely, you know, considered myself to be somewhat of a graphic designer, but I didn't claim that title because I didn't have official training. And so when that kept coming up for me, I was like, I think that like, that was something that really excited me, but I, again, kept kind of dismissing it. And so I figured out how to marry the two where I could do event planning, but still scratch that itch of helping people with their branding and marketing. But I did it originally just for wedding and event professionals. So I didn't help anyone else. Unlike today, I work with all types of people. And so what I loved about that is because with event planning, as you know, it took a lot of my time. Most of the events and the weddings that you plan, they're on the weekends, they're late at night. I didn't want to spend my weekends working, especially when I had another job that I was doing. I didn't want to spend my evenings planning other people's events. And so it just was something that I was like, I need to figure this out because I still want to do that, but I don't want to do it this way. So when I started getting into the branding and marketing, I felt like it was just a light bulb that came inside that I was like, this is what you're supposed to be doing and you can control your time. And I felt like I could help people so much more by helping them really realize who they are and then helping them to make more money doing what they love. And so that was when I decided that I was going to make the shift. And then eventually other people were like, well, I know you work with wedding and event planners, but I have a boutique or I'm a lawyer or I'm this, can you help me with this? And at first I was like, I don't know, because I don't want to confuse people. But eventually I was like, well, I think I can work with women entrepreneurs. I don't have to just work with wedding planners. I still have a ton of wedding planners and I don't know, they're just attracted to me and I'm attracted to them, but I do work with a ton of other people now that I'm fully swinging my business.
Yeah, that's real. The whole weekend thing. And then when you become a mother,
yes,
you know, you need that childcare, that support. That's when I feel, when I became a mom, I kind of started feeling like, okay, I don't really have time to be going to all of these meetings. And so what I decided to do was I was like, okay, maybe I'll just do destination weddings. Mm-hmm. And then that became like a little tough. And then COVID hit and I was like, I've already been feeling like I wanted to get out of this industry for a while because it was passion, but it didn't necessarily feel like purpose. And that's how I made my shift.
Yeah.
But once you made your shift from leaving Coca-Cola, like what steps did you have to take to become, actually, what steps did you have to take to leave?
What do you mean? As far as my business, like
become full-time as an entrepreneur?
That's also a very loaded question. It has been, I will say that it has definitely been a roller coaster because one thing that I will say, and my husband and I created a company called Quit Your 9-to-5 Academy to help people who are in that transition, who want to leave their full-time job to do something that they love. One thing that I realized is that I worked in corporate America since I was like official corporate America since I was maybe 17 or 18 years old. So you'd say from 18 to, that's a great, how old was I when I left Coke? I don't know, but I was working. So that was 5 years ago. So I was about 36 years old. Okay. So for 18 years, I was working in corporate America. And so when I left, my mental transition did not leave with me. I was still working my business as an employee. I did not have the discipline of a CEO. Whenever I had time, like I initially treated my business like, oh, I have a lot of all of this free time. I can do what I want. I can wake up when I want. That affected and impacted my income. And it was scary because the first, like as soon as I quit, 3 weeks later, I had made like $12,000. And that was the most money I had ever made in such a short period of time. So I was really excited. I was like, this is what I've been putting off all this time. And I thought it was just going to be that easy, but it's not. So, you know, that was a struggle for me because I had to kind of find my way. It was just me. I didn't have the support. I mean, I had my family and my friends' support, but nobody's physically working on your business like you are. So I had to really find my way as far as what did I want to focus on, really figuring out, you know, my messaging. That was trial and error. Like, I feel like what I've been doing has been very consistent, but it shifts when you're trying to figure out, well, who do you want to work with and what are they struggling with and how can I create something? And then look at everybody else that's out here. How can I do something that's different from what they're doing so people start to notice me? What's my secret sauce? And so that took me a minute to try to figure that out. So I tried different things just to kind of see what felt good for me. I realized I was doing too much. I was trying to do it all. Mm-hmm. And I needed to just shave things down. I felt like, oh, if I, you know, the less I do, the less money I would make, when it's actually the total opposite. And so that just took a little bit of trial and error. You have to try things to see what works. You know, I teach people how to grow their businesses, grow their brands. I teach them how to do that specifically online. But even some of the strategies that I give people, some things will not work for you because that's just not how your business is set up or how you are set up. So you definitely, and I will always say, another thing that helped me tremendously is when I got a coach. I hired a coach, someone who has been there. So when I first started my business, I hired someone that was a coach to wedding and event professionals. So this was somebody that has done what I'm trying to do so they can give me the proper advice. Once I transitioned out of that, then I hired a coach. For every phase of my business, I hired somebody that could help me, mentor me along the way. And that is when my business really, really made the shift. And I felt like, okay, I think I am a CEO now, you know, because it's a roller coaster, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah. So investing in yourself is huge.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Okay. So you mentioned before that you would not suggest just leaving the job. What would you suggest? Why wouldn't you suggest that? And what would you suggest?
Well, because I mean, you don't, if you don't have a plan, then what's the saying? If you don't have a plan or if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, as you can tell from all the stories that I've shared, I'm a risk taker. I have no problem like, all right, let's do it. You know, let's try it. The worst that could happen is it doesn't work. We'll try something else. That has always been the type of person that I am. But especially for me, when I quit my job, I had a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old child. Okay. So me not having a plan on how I was going to be bringing in income, my husband had a business. He has a tax company. And so, yes, he had a business, but the lifestyle that we were living, we needed 2 incomes to come into our home. And so we have to plan that accordingly. How do you plan to sustain yourself? What are you going to do when your seasons, because there's a high season and a low season to every business. And so I didn't really think those things through. I just was like, oh, I'll figure it out like I always do. This is not something that I wish I would have. I probably would have done the same thing over again, but I would have just planned it a little bit better. I would have planned my savings a little bit better to have a little bit of cushion to not put that unnecessary stress on myself. Because it was very, very stressful times until you really learn the ropes of your business. So everything is not going to be perfect. And some people take that statement like they need to have all ducks in a row. So you have to have a plan, but you have to also be willing to jump. Because if you're just relying on the plan and the plan doesn't work to your benefit, then you're just going to be relying on the plan and you'll never take action. At that particular point, the reason why I said I would still do it the same way is because I was planning this for 5 years. And I hadn't reached that pinnacle where I was like, this is the time, you know, based on my bank account or based on any particular knowledge. So I had to jump. So some people just got to jump into it, but try to plan as much as you can. Like, don't be foolish. Just work it out so it makes sense.
Was your husband in agreement?
He was. And that's what gave me the confidence to do it. You know, one thing I will say about him, he knows that I have the most craziest ideas. He will tell me, I do not think that's a good idea, but I know you're going to do it anyway. So I will support you. That's just the type of person he is.
So you had a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old when you did this. How did you balance motherhood? Did you and your full-time entrepreneurial lifestyle? How did you balance all of that?
I don't think there is anything. There's no such thing as balance.
Like balance. Were they at home with you?
What does that mean?
Right. Yeah.
So yes, they were at home with us. It was tough. It still is tough. They're older now. So they're a little bit more independent, but we still have responsibilities, especially with COVID and they're virtual. So you got to figure it out. That was a big learning lesson for me because I didn't know how to manage my time. Now, as far as support is concerned, they were home with us and I have an amazing family and I have amazing friends. So if I needed them to go to my mom's, my sister's, one of my friends, somebody was always there to lend a hand. So I will say I was blessed with that. However, there are times when that's just not possible or you just don't want to pass your kids off to, you know, people all the time. And I have to work or I have to be on a conference call and there's a screaming baby or, you know, there's somebody who is hungry and I got to stop when I'm, that still happens, where they're hungry and I got to stop what I'm doing. And I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to try to get work done. That worked for me a lot. It took me a minute to figure that out, but I would get up super early when the kids were asleep to get most of the important things done at that particular time, because I could not be consistent with the schedule, especially with a baby, because they don't care about your schedule. They're like, no, I want to eat right now. I need this. I need that. So you just have to have grace and patience with yourself. At first, I made myself wrong because I felt like I was doing a disservice to my children because I wasn't giving them my undivided attention, which made me feel like a bad mother. I felt guilty about a lot of things. I had to shift my mindset, and then I had to work with what I had and work around it. There was no, again, having that employee mindset, I was like, I got to work from this time to this time, and I have to do this and this and this. And that's not how my lifestyle works. So I had to fit around the conditions that I, you know, the things that I couldn't control, I got to work with that. The things that I could control, let me focus on getting this into some kind of system. And so we just wing it every single day. That's basically what it is.
Okay, so you are the Olivia Pope of branding. Tell me more about what you do currently with your clients.
Sure. So yeah, I help my clients become known online. So most of my clients, they have a business or they're starting a business and they have a love-hate relationship with social media. So we all love to be on social media, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you call it, when we're looking at what other people are doing, whether it's funny memes, funny videos, things that entertain us, that's all fun and dandy. But when it comes time to you putting yourself out there and doing the same things for you, they're like, oh my God, you know, it's very intimidating. They have anxiety around it. It's not working for them. It's overwhelming. And so that's where I come in. So I help you, first of all, build your brand strategy, which is something that doesn't necessarily have to apply to you being online. That's something that I help you with that's going to help you both on and offline. What is your brand strategy? So many of the things that I mentioned earlier when I was trying to find my way in my business and who do I serve and what is it that they need from me? What's my secret sauce? How am I going to stand out from what everybody else in my industry is doing? And then how do we take that and make it amazing and irresistible online so we can grow our tribe? So for me, yes, I knew a lot of people locally in my industry, but especially when I turned to coaching full time, I didn't have, you know, the people that I was associated with were wedding and event planning. So that kept my network very small. So I really leveraged the reach and the impact that the online world has to grow my business. And once I figured it out and cracked the code, then I wanted to share that with other people because my business quadrupled when I was able to reach people in other nations, other lands. I have clients all over the globe in different countries that I would have never been able to connect with if it wasn't for me, first of all, building my brand online and making sure I have a strong presence and making sure that people are able to find me. And so that's what I help other people do for themselves.
And how do people find you?
So most people find me through Instagram. That seems to be the place where everybody's like, I saw you on Instagram. I saw you on Instagram. Now that I've been doing TikToks, I get a lot of people contacting me from TikTok. I get people that find me all over the place. I mean, from LinkedIn to a Google search to referrals to somebody else telling them about my business. But I will say the majority of people that find me are saying that they're coming from Instagram.
Okay, so if anyone is interested in working with you, then they can just go to Instagram and check you out there.
Absolutely.
Lastly, will you please let me know what your life motto is, like your favorite quote or a motto that you live by?
Yeah. So my favorite quote is face the fear and do it anyway. I live by that because I think that fear stops us from living our best life. Now, I don't want you to do something stupid that you know you shouldn't be doing, but I think that we, a lot of times we are in our own way. And that's because we're afraid. We're afraid of what other people are going to say. We're afraid of being judged. We're afraid that we're going to fail. We're afraid, oh, I might succeed and I might not know how to deal with the success. We put all of these things in our head, most of which are not real because it hasn't happened yet. And that stops us from being successful or living our best life. So my motto is face the fear. It's there. It's okay. But then do it anyway. And that has been what I've lived by throughout my whole life. And that has gotten me very far. So I encourage people to do the same.
Thank you, Tamisha, so much for sharing your journey and how you serve others and just being my guest today. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great.
All right, I'll see ya.
All right, love. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Shalana Folks Talk Show today. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave 5 stars, a review, and share it with a friend. And as always, you are doing your best, and your best is good enough. I'll see you next week, same time, same place.